Hey there, it's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Comedy Podcast. Tune in to our show and join me in making some regrettable decisions. It's available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Ramos out to left center. Not deep. Coming in to make the catch on the run. That's Lucas. And that's it. Another win for the hottest team in the American League. The Toronto Blue Jays are flying high. And they sweep the Giants, the final score on this Sunday, 8-6.
Oh. Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Go ahead. Dave Fleming on the call. Roku. I'm sick of that stuff.
What are you sick of?
You don't get the pre and post from the Giants on NBC Sports Bay Area. Mm. So that right there, I hate it. Mm. And then also to... to our guy Fleming, when you have a series where Webb and Ray go,
right,
you should never be swept.
Why? It's not
Webb deserves
better. It's not
better.
Koufax and Walter Johnson.
It's your version of it.
Yeah. Well, guess what?
And you got the Pirates coming up for 7 games. I'm scared to say, oh, they'll go 6-1 or 7-0.
Why would you? And like that, seriously, you know, why would you think
that's
that?
That's the medicine I need. I need more of that. But I'm with Shasky. I heard him this morning saying they're not dead.
Okay. So now, okay, go ahead.
No, math is still there. Okay, they're not dead.
Then calm down.
But if you keep sleeping at the plate, you will be. How about that? Now, what's funny? Look like you had a procedure with the chiclets. A little whitening.
What does that mean?
Your teeth look whiter than they ever have.
Really?
Yeah.
I made it up.
Baking soda?
No, it's just regular toothpaste that whitens.
Hmm.
Thanks, Goo.
No, I'm serious.
No, thank you.
I'm wearing those sparklets.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
You too, E.
657 Steinmetz, quit walking around Karika Golf Course like your Scottish chef. I haven't been to Karika in about 3 weeks. Main man, Evan Giddings, played at Karika this weekend. How'd you like it?
Well.
And what'd you shoot?
Yeah. There's some work. We only played the 9-hole 3-par. And there
the
was...
Myth.
Yeah, okay. There was a lot of work being done on the tee boxes, so it was less than stellar. But I will say, it's the only driving range that I've been to in the Bay Area that has
TrackMan.
Yeah, TrackMan.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, you got to awesome. Tell, I'm fronting like I know what's TrackMan.
Basically, right. you set up, there's a liner behind you. So, like, you know, in baseball, that's how they track the flight path of baseball.
Gotcha.
Tell you how far it goes, how hard you hit. So it's the same thing at the golf course where you select a club, you select basically which pin you want to hit it at, and then it tracks based on where you're aiming and which club you're using, basically like the efficiency of how you're hitting, where you're putting it on the ball, your slice, your drive. It's great.
Wow. You guys are going to laugh, but that sounds like the venue I go to in Roseville where, you know, we eat, drink, and golf. What about Top Golf? They have that, like, to your swing, and we know it's not actual golfing like Evan was, but it gives you that the analytics of your swing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. But speaking of Scottie Scheffler, you know, here's the other thing. You know, stop telling me we love greatness. We don't love greatness. What? We love certain types of greatness. Scottie Scheffler is so dominant right now, it's unbelievable. But you know what? He's boring.
Says who?
Says the golf world. See, that's the issue. You know, everybody thinks, you know, we all like greatness when it's Michael Jordan. We all love greatness when it's Magic. We don't love greatness when it's Tim Duncan and Scottie Scheffler. Guys who just get it done, dominate, and then leave the playing field.
Dude, I love Duncan, and yeah, you're making me like Scheffler more. Like, okay, real quick, before the scandal for Tiger, what made him exciting? I mean, was he just because he was black or the muscles? What?
He hit shots that nobody else hit. Just like a Kobe, just like a Bird, Magic, Jordan. That to me is why. But and let's listen. I'm not going to let you do this right now.
Do what?
I'm not going to let you revise history and try to tell me that Tim Duncan is as popular as the other great players.
How about respected in the era? Partner? That's what I'm. He's respected
by the players, by his peers. Yes, but I don't believe he gets the same amount of respect as Kobe Bryant.
Well,
as Magic,
I wouldn't say he's a walking billboard for endorsements, but
no, that's why nobody really. Eh.
But Scheffler's dominant.
So was Tim Duncan, and they were called the most boring team in professional sports. You know,
Austin coming for me. What guru stop it? Tiger is a generational talent. I didn't say he wasn't.
Yeah, Tiger's like, you know, Tiger.
Hey, it's Tiger.
Tiger did things that we never saw before. This is a great poll question, by the way, if you want to jump on it. But the only problem is the answer's easy.
It's not great, but I do like it.
No,
but
who's more delusional? Joe Shasky thinking the Giants can make the playoffs, or Jonathan Kuminga wanting $30 million.
That's not even close. Well, you said it was easy.
Yeah, Kuminga's more delusional. Yeah. Shasky's pretty delusional. Actually, I don't think Shasky's delusional. They can make the playoffs. Why can't the Giants make the playoffs?
Because they can't hit?
Yeah, right now.
Right.
Well, last month, they haven't hit. Let's go more John Smoltz on Justin Verlander.
It takes that not going out trying to get that first win, just going out to execute pitches. I had to learn the hard way. I got released by Boston. I did some things and listened to some people I should have never listened to. And when I got to St. Louis, I was freed up. I pitched great. And I ended my career the way I wanted to. I know Justin wants to get 300 wins badly, and he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. This is one of those things you just feel like you're in a dream that's never, it's a nightmare, and you just need something to shake your way, and I wouldn't be surprised if he got that on a roll. If he could click whatever's going on right now, if he clicks, then you got the pitcher that you always hoped you were going to get from the beginning of the season.
That's John Smoltz.
Yeah, good luck with that.
He's not getting 300 wins. That's 38 more wins.
Well, we're worried
that's
about
four
one.
Seasons.
Can you get one win this season? That's where this thing is going.
Yeah, and he's not getting to 300. I can't see any way he gets to 300. But they got to keep pitching him.
No, you got no choice.
They've absolutely got to keep pitching him.
Unless you make a move at the deadline.
I mean, but even if you make a move at the deadline, let's say you get a starting pitcher, who's
like Mitch Keller from the Pirates.
Okay, that's a name that's
that
come up a lot.
That would be big, yeah.
Okay, so then, all right, then who's your rotation? Your rotation is Webb, it is Ray, it is
Roop.
Keller.
Roop,
and then who? You still got an issue with either Birdsong.
Okay, but now that's one of them got to sit. Right now you can't do that.
Yeah,
I mean, how many two strike counts did Verlander have Friday? We're watching Steiny, and he was throwing meatballs that the best spaghetti would appreciate.
Yeah, this is what Melvin said.
It was more put away with two strikes. Oh. You know, typically he's got something to get a swing and miss, didn't get any strikeouts. Actually, he limited the damage for the amount of base runners he had there in you know, less than three innings, but a couple key hits off him and just really didn't have a put away pitch today.
Bob Melvin.
Yeah. And as you get older, I guess those put-away pitches become infrequent, right? You would think to reach back and...
I mean, he's 42 years old.
Dude, 40-something
years old, right? I don't know. This team now is in Atlanta for three games, and you got to win two out of three here somehow, because you can't keep... You can't keep losing. They're already 2.5. See, this is exactly what happened last year to the Giants. They were in about this spot, but you realize there's 7 or 8 teams better than them. And let me tell you what we're looking at for the next month. Actually, 6 weeks. And you guys can decide whether you're going to fall for it or not. Guru's going to say that the math works. Guru's going to say that they're only 4 games in back, let's say, of the wild card. But the problem's going to be they're going to have to leapfrog three or four teams. And we saw how that worked out last year with this team.
And the last few years, to be honest.
They're not good enough right now to be the team that can, if you're in seventh or eighth place, which is where they are, can you really play well enough to leapfrog three teams? I'm not sure they can do that. And, you know, their schedule's not easy coming up either.
Well, you got the Pirates six games, Donnie. So you would think you could make some hay there. But, again, I got PTSD, and I'll never from the White Sox and Marlins. When you looked at them, like, who did the piece? You said in The Athletic to where if they could do such and such, you know, how did that work out? You lost, what, 5 of 6 to the Marlins and Dodger, White Sox.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? And it's still
and they can't hit left-handed pitching with their life dependent on it, too.
Yeah.
Well, they can't hit anyway, but.
Yeah, I blame Andrew Baggerly of The Athletic. I do. Talking about this team heading into the Marlins and the White Sox.
But you know that batters had, that had nothing to do with when 15? They were trying to get hits,
oh, really?
Right?
I don't know.
Stop.
Maybe they read it.
Stoney, stop.
I mean, why don't we put the route on the table? Can somebody answer me this question? What the hell happened to the Giants since they acquired Rafael Devers? And what's happened to Rafael Devers? They're 11-17 with Devers.
That's crazy.
They're 11-19 in their last 30 because they lost the first two games, or the last two games they played before they acquired Devers to the LA Dodgers.
I truly don't know, man. I don't think anybody does, right? Even with the Giants.
I mean,
tell me a trade that's gone bad overall like this when you get a play. Like, again, Jimmy Butler is the exact opposite of what we thought in regard to the gains and changing your team's fortune. I mean, that thing popped off with Jimmy like a M80 firecracker right away. This thing's gone south.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app and coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. The morning show asked Smoltzy if Verlander could end up coming out of the pen.
And for Justin Verlander at this point in his career, I would think would be almost very difficult to do, not impossible, but he has the experience and knows how to pitch. Justin knows how to pitch. What he's trying to learn is his new tool set, whatever that is in this year, whether it's his fastball that doesn't have a little extra carry or his curveball doesn't have a little extra break, pitching in San Francisco versus where he's been. The one thing about pitching is it's not the same everywhere you go. You know, certain players, certain mounds, certain venues, all the things that hitters will tell you, I didn't like this backdrop, I didn't like that stadium. There's all these factors that nobody puts in an analytical, like, this is the answer, that they miss out sometimes on players and places and why they don't work out.
All right. That actually is something that, to me, is a little bit alarming if he feels like he's just not comfortable here in San Francisco on the mound. I mean, he should be used to it by now, right? When you pitch half a season in a ballpark, you got to figure you know a little more about it than when you first started. But he's 0-8, Goo, with a 4.99 ERA. And I don't know what would you do with Verlander right now? I mean,
well, there's nothing you can do.
I keep running him out there.
Or no, I'd be on the phone trying to get me a Mitch Keller or something. Another option. That's what I would do if I believe this team can do something. And or if you ask me, you didn't, Stoney, are they better than the Padres? A week ago, I would have said, hell yes, I think they're better. But I still think they got action. So you're 2.5 behind the Padres. So when you talk about a leaping other teams, right now it's 1 just to get in. But that number is growing. That's a concern. So I'm gonna keep running him out there until I got a better option.
Yeah.
So and I would add if I'm Buster.
Evan, what would you do? You're Buster Posey. What do you do if you're Buster Posey? Are you adding?
I said add.
You're not doing anything right now. You're not selling, you're not buying, you're probably taking the temperature of the climate in case the next couple of weeks go great or they go poorly. But you already know what you need. Like, the Giants absolutely know that they have holes right everywhere. You know, second base, maybe you'd like to add a relief pitcher, like a lefty, because Eric Miller's been hurt. You don't know if he's going to come back 100%. You'd like to add a starter. Like, you know exactly what you need. The question is, do you think it's good enough to chase? And I think the next 10 days are immensely important for Buster Posey, because I don't think he's decided whether they're sellers or buyers. I don't think he absolutely does not want to sell. Like, I don't think Posey is the kind of competitor that in his first season would want the Giants to sell. But if this team starts or continues to tailspin, that's something you have to consider.
Yeah, and to me, they got four guys maybe. Robbie Ray, Verlander. I don't know. Would you move Duvall? What about Wilmer Flores? Is there any interest in Wilmer Flores? I mean, I'm not saying you.
I mean, but what would he need?
I'm not. Here's where I'm at right now with the Giants. I'm not selling right now, and I'm kind of with Evan. I'm not selling right now, but I ain't buying either. I can't buy. I cannot. I would not give up somebody in my minor league system that I like. If there is somebody there that I like, I don't know that I would move that player this season so that the Giants can try to make a push that, at this point, I don't even think most Giants fans have confidence that they can. Or maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, but
I mean, if you're a Giants fan and you're looking at this pitching, you're looking at this hitting, do they have enough? And my question is, like, it's kind of interesting to me, is they were playing pretty well and then Devers came. And most people assume that Devers makes them better. We were talking about possibly winning, you know, can they challenge the Dodgers? And that hasn't happened. And Devers hasn't hit. And the Giants are worse now with Devers than they were without him. Not that it's his fault, but something's happened to this team. And, you know, I also think the issue with the Giants is it hasn't been dramatic. It's not like their pitching has fallen off the map. They're not hitting well enough. Mm-hmm. And it's gone on for the better part of the season. And I guess my question now is, you've played 100 of 162 games. Yeah, Devers can get hot. Yeah, Adames can get hot. But once you get to this point, you start wondering if kind of this is who they are and this is who they're going to be down the stretch.
Yeah, and Evan hit the nail on the head, because I believe the deadline is the 31st. So they got 9 games starting tonight before, let's just say, Posey did the Bob Myers. You don't have to make a decision until you really have to. But obviously you want to get on something early. But, man, you got the Braves, the Mets, and the Pirates, Donnie. And if you could get fat somehow during that 9-game stretch, a 6-3 or a 7-2, I believe Buster, and even if, who says if it's the other way, Buster would, you know, read the room and act accordingly in regard to if he was going to add or even stay pat.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, let's say you have 9 games,
yeah,
and you go 6-3.
Then I feel like he would add.
See, and that's where I guess what I'm...
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
I'm saying is you're 52-48, and I'm not gonna let, if this team goes 6-3, I'm not gonna say, well, now we're adding, but if we would have gone 3-6, we would sit tight or sell. Like, I think it's, and this is kind of where I've always been with the baseball season, it's like so long. And if you look at the Giants, they've had a bunch of time, you know, they've won 5 of 6, then they lose 6 of 7. So I would not want to get caught if this team wins six of its next nine and starting to think that it's a dramatically different team just because it went 6-3 over nine games. That to me is the real tricky part with the Giants. If you really thought that when they were 41-29, they were a 90 plus win team, then maybe you strategize thinking that you're that good of a team. But can you really assume that this team's that team, the team that was 41-29?
That's his job, can. Though, Stani.
Yeah, I can't.
And I hadn't heard him talk since, I don't even want to say since, but the one thing that came out when he opened his mouth last time, Stani, was it was go time. So I wonder if somebody had a microphone in front of his face today on July 21st, what time is it now? Is it still go time? Because I'm going to give it seven games before the deadline to make something happen. Or he's played this game. Stani, does he have a gut feeling about how good he thinks this team is? And it's just about how close they are.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to think that as Buster Posey's watched this team over the last month, 5 weeks, whatever it's been, I mean, he's got to be concerned. I mean, he's got to be concerned because I'm not sure this team has another gear right now. I mean, especially
like
with the team
in neutral now, though.
Especially with the teams coming up, you know, you got Atlanta, then you got the Mets coming up for three, Pirates, the Mets again, then the Pirates. You got to take advantage, of those teams. But hell, you may see Skeens twice. Who knows?
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
So. What do you do if you're Buster Posey right now? The other thing is when he took the job, I mean, he made a point to talk about wanting this team to be more homegrown and developing more players through the farm system. So are you telling me that that's kind of what he'd like to accomplish? Now, he had an opportunity to get Devers, so he did that, and he took two guys off the major league roster and two guys off, who are in the farm system. But I don't think Buster Posey wants to do that again. He wants to have his good prospects stay in the system so that they can eventually bring them up.
Yeah, I'm looking at.
I don't think he wants to raid the farm system right now. That's like raid the farm system is not a good term, but like I don't know that I'm getting rid of as many as one player in the minor leagues that I really, really like for the idea that another move then vaults this team into not only the playoffs, but then can make a run.
Well, I'll say this, Dan Pat still, that's not the worst case scenario to me because the move could be if Rafi got hot, if he just looked like his old self, then what's the chain reaction with this team and his offense from that vantage point? But it's funny, Stani, I'm watching Yaz. He's batting .242, 8 homers, 28 RBIs. And this is a contract year for him. And then I look at Matos, who I know has kind of basically failed. I wonder if I do think of Yaz, is this his last tour with the Giants? And if you put Matos out there, would he accumulate .242, 8 homers, and 28 RBIs if he was damn near your everyday right fielder? But just thoughts I have, like, man, I'm not blaming it on Yaz, but Yaz is Yaz. But if you're talking about the homegrown, you still got Matos, or could some other team look at Matos at the deadline and he'd be included in something?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, and would you even think of moving Ellie Ramos right now?
I would not.
He might have more value than some of the guys we're talking about. That would be a big time sell. He was an all-star last year. But when I look at this roster, I got to believe that Chapman, Devers, Adames are probably not going anywhere. I wouldn't imagine Ramos is going anywhere. He's just too young and I would say too solid right now. But 888-957-9570 is the number. Giants fans, where are you right now with this team? You've lost 5 in a row, 3 in a row after the All-Star break. You are in 8th place right now in the National League. So you're right in the middle of the National League. And so Buster Posey's got some decisions to make. on what the direction of this team's going to be, and he's got 10 days to do it. What would you like to see Buster Posey do if you're a Giants fan? 888-957-9570. And a reminder that all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop?
Hey, it's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Comedy Podcast. We've been described as unscripted, unqualified, and unapologetic. And that came from my mother. See if you agree. The Commercial Break is available Tuesday through Friday, wherever you get your podcasts.